Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Every score change during Super Bowl 56, someone's going to win $50,000. And the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. What up? Welcome on in, friends. It is Maggie and Perloff. Great to have you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's how you can call the show. Get involved early and often. We've got so much to get to before championship weekend.
Oh, I am so excited. Not just for championship weekend. I get giddy when snow is on the way. The Northeast is about to get hit by a bomb cyclone. We're nice here in the warm studio.
And you like that?
I love it.
Bomb cyclone. That's appealing to you.
I want to sit on my couch and watch football analysis all weekend and watch the games, maybe mix in some NBA. I do not want to go outside once.
Well, we will get to the NBA because somebody, Mr. Perloff, featured on the TNT halftime show last night. We'll get to that in just a minute. Big celebrity is Mr. Andrew Perloff. We got to start, though, with the person who is the most compelling in this championship weekend. Now, we can talk about coaches and matchups and running games and in the trenches and all of that, and believe me, we will. But there is one person that stands above everyone else this weekend in terms of, first of all, how much they could influence whether or not their team gets to the Super Bowl or not. And two, just how polarizing this person is and what we really think of him. And that's Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, there are people who look at Jimmy Garoppolo and they see a winner. And I understand why they would see a winner, because Jimmy Garoppolo is 31-14 as a starter, and Jimmy Garoppolo is 4-1 in the playoffs. There are people who look at Jimmy Garoppolo and say, bottom line, he might be the most beautiful person on the field, but he could be the ugliest looking quarterback, and somehow he gets it done. Don't ask me how, but he has gotten his team to a Super Bowl in the past, or helped, and he has already been there, and you cannot deny the fact that they are right here on the doorstep when nobody thought really San Francisco was a Super Bowl contender this year. They were going into that last week of the season. They had to win that game. If they had just lost, if the Rams had just put their, you know, stepped on the necks of the 49ers when they had the chance, we're not even talking about the 49ers here.
Absolutely. Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy who my wife stops by the TV every Sunday and be like, hey, who's that guy?
Even with the helmet on. She's got really good eyesight.
Yeah. Jimmy G, there's a stat on him from Pro Football Focus. There's only one quarterback in the entire NFL who threw more turnover-worthy passes. Mike Glennon with the New York Giants. That is not a good sign.
Wow.
And it was last week.
Catching a stray, Mike Glennon.
He was throwing these little wobbly out passes. How many near pick sixes did he? Or no, sorry, it was the last 2 weeks he's thrown these. He throws an out pass to like a running back. And you, if you're a Niners fan, you're on the verge of a heart attack. Because that guy throws more dangerous balls, then he'll give it away. Even in that Week 18 game against the Rams, they have this incredible comeback. Jimmy G plays amazing. Throws it into traffic. Jalen Ramsey makes a pick. So you really can't trust him. I do disagree with one point. I don't know if the Niners are going to win or lose because of him. Because I feel like, do you feel like the coaching staff is going to try and take him out of the equation?
No, but see, that's like the yin and the yang of Garoppolo, right? Mm. Some people look at him and just see winner. Other people look at him and see liability, like what you were just talking about. The coaching staff has done a very admirable job in trying to coach around Jimmy Garoppolo. And case in point, Jimmy Garoppolo has not thrown a touchdown in these playoffs. Not thrown a touchdown in these playoffs. I'll say it again. in Jimmy Garoppolo's entire postseason career, which spans five games. He was riding the pine through all those Patriots Super Bowls, we know. Two touchdowns. This is someone who's been to a Super Bowl and is on the verge of another. Two touchdowns, five interceptions. Those are just the straight up numbers. The coaching staff at times is trying to coach around Garoppolo. But Perloff, if we think this game is going to be at least high scoring from the Rams' point, the Rams can put up points, right? We know that.
Yeah.
Their offense has the ability to be explosive. That offensive line, when they're working, if Cam Akers isn't fumbling the ball, they're very dangerous. At some point, if you need Jimmy Garoppolo to get you back into a game, like they did against the Rams in Week 18 when San Francisco had 3 points at the half, you're going to have to rely on Jimmy to throw
Absolutely.
The ball.
Absolutely. I recently rewatched that game. And Jimmy G, that's a thing with Jimmy G. When you count him out, he'll step up in the pocket and he'll throw a dart 25 yards downfield. He all of a sudden becomes Superman random times, yeah. Then throws another one. So I think you can trust him, just like you said. Week 18, he did it. So why are we discounting that? I love that it was coming into the season. There was a great line about Jimmy G. We know Jimmy G is good enough to take the 49ers to a Super Bowl because he just did it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's amazing how we can dismiss that winning and look at his shortcomings. So again, I don't think he's necessarily the most compelling. He's the most confusing player in this two championship games.
It's possible he could be confusing. I think he's polarizing, though, because I do think you had tweets from Deebo Samuel, you had tweets from George Kittle, basically just saying, why can't you guys, you, the fans, the media, whatever, why can't you just see the wins? Like, why do you have to pick it apart and parcel it and do all these things that we always do? We raise someone up, we tear them down. Mm. Why can't you just look at the result? And why can't that be good enough for you? And to that I say, because I think the coaching staff is doing a hell of a job coaching around Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, even though he does have some nice throws on his resume.
That seems like a selective thought from George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, because you say wins and losses are not a quarterback stat.
No.
So how can you say just look at the wins? And by the way, George Kittle, maybe you don't have any drops this game. That'd be nice. You know, he's been a little weird lately.
He's been blocking a lot for them, too.
Yeah, he's been blocking a lot. Deebo, I can say nothing wrong about Deebo.
No,
I feel like he's the quarterback. He's the running back. He's the wide receiver. Isn't it amazing? He's the face of that offense. How many teams get this far when the quarterback is not the face of your offense? Very few.
It's very rare. And for him to go back to the Super Bowl really would be something. I am not really in the Jimmy camp here. I'm the person who is looking at their watch as it's midway through the third quarter and wondering when the pick six is going to come. I can't help it. I've just seen it too much, right? I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy you can close games with. And maybe I'm just being a little recency biased, just even going back to that Super Bowl. You could not close the game with Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe Shanahan deserves some blame for that. Garoppolo, the defense, maybe just the brilliance of Mahomes, which was kind of what the story was coming out of that Super Bowl. Wow, look at Mahomes in his second year, and look what he just did and orchestrated this massive comeback in a Super Bowl. But I saw that as Jimmy not being able to close the deal. The one thing about this that's kind of changing my mind just a little, and I don't want to get wrapped up in this. Listen, this Michael Jordan documentary just did a number on all of us. And you're saying, why would that play in right now?
How can Michael Jordan even be mentioned in the same little take on Jimmy G?
The last dance. The last dance, the last hurrah sort of aspect professional sports and how motivating that can be for certain guys. The games I know are enough to be motivating, but when there's a little something extra on it, it always feels like that, I don't know, maybe I'm just rooting for the story. I'm not really sure, but I thought this was interesting from Kyle Shanahan had a conference call. And he was asked about the idea that whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo has to win a Super Bowl in order to remain the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And Shanahan said, no, Trey Lance is the guy.
Right.
And everybody knows that he's our guy. Here's the direct quote from the Shanahan conference call. It's been that way for a while since we made that trade. And the more that we all can accept it and know it and not beat around the bush, the easier it is to go on with your job. That's what we've all done. We've enjoyed each other all season as people. We all respect the hell out of each other in our profession. I think it's just allowed everyone to move on and be themselves. And I think throughout the year, it's allowed him being Jimmy to get better. It's allowed our team to get better. It's allowed me to get better and focus what I should focus on and just try to be a good coach and do our jobs. Everyone's acknowledged it. Garoppolo's gone after this year. Now, this might be a young core and still have some young pieces on it for the 49ers, but this iteration, this is the last dance for this specific Niners team.
I think in this, if you're going to use the last dance, I think Jimmy G is basically Orlando Woolridge, the star of the Bulls before Michael Jordan got there.
Good pull.
There's more than just a few young stars. I mean, they have Nick Bosa is a game wrecker. Deebo Samuel's emerged as a star. Brandon Ayuk's a very good wide receiver. George Kittle's still really young. They got this guy, Elijah Mitchell, now. They'll find running backs. Trent Williams actually is the only old guy that really makes a big difference here. I think Kyle Shanahan is thrilled about the next chapter. It doesn't feel... The last dance is a flawed analogy because there's nothing Michael Jordan-esque about Jimmy G. It's like, I feel like once they clear the way, then we get to first dance next year.
so it's actually the you flip over like the tape or whatever. But don't you understand what I'm saying? No, it's not Michael Jordan. Of course, Jimmy Garoppolo is not Michael Jordan.
But you think they're rallying around Jimmy G because they know he's gone.
I just think that there's a part of this that you can get behind. And I don't think this is just a media thing. I think the players actually buy into this. And because the players will tell us they're buying into this, they'll get defensive about their players that they think are being disrespected. And they will pump up that player. And listen, I think Jimmy is also a leader. He's the quarterback of the team. He's one of the captains, all that stuff you'd expect. But I think that they see the good in him. They will look at him and see, wow, this is an injured quarterback that you can't rely on and all that. And they see a guy who's worked back through injuries, is playing through two significant injuries, the thumb and the shoulder, to be out there with his team, and still they're one game away from the Super Bowl.
Well, I think, but everybody else saw last week and said they should have put in Trey Lance at halftime because there's no way the Niners were getting in the end zone. Then Jimmy G played pretty good in the fourth quarter. I mean, as you started out the segment, he hasn't thrown a touchdown. Nope. He was objectively bad last week.
Yep.
And,
But you'll blame the weather because you're letting Aaron Rodgers off the hook with the weather.
He wasn't even that great against Dallas.
Throw a touchdown.
The strengths here are for San Francisco are start with Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, George Kittle, of course, Deebo Samuel. There's so many strengths. And Jimmy G, Fred Warner. I mean, maybe I get to 13th or 14th player before I get into Jimmy G. So I understand what you're saying. They could rally around him. And you're right. Players love to do that. It's a really good point. But, I mean, Jimmy G, let's just forget all the analysis. Just your instinct. Is Jimmy G going to play a good game on Sunday?
No, I don't know. I don't think he's going to. 855-212-4CBS. The other people you named, I think, are going to. But I don't even know if the coaching staff's going to give Jimmy the opportunity to lose the game for them, if that makes sense.
He will grasp that opportunity. Jimmy G will find the opportunity to throw a pass that he should not do, just like he did against the Cowboys. Did you think that the coaching staff said, we want you to roll right and throw it straight to the linebacker?
No, but here's the thing. If you are all of a sudden, if the Rams get out to a two-touchdown lead,
right,
what are you going to do?
That's when Jimmy G thrives for some reason. Exactly. He does well when we don't expect him to do well. And then he's had these moments of just boneheaded moments, which is so weird because he comes from the Patriots discipline, Tom Brady school thing. And he's a bit of an erratic wild card player. I'm very curious. That is such a strong quote you have from Kyle Shanahan. So where does he go next year? Do they just, I think he gets in the $20 million somewhere. Does that mean that Jimmy G is playing every game he wins from now on? Does that mean he gets a higher draft pick and trade? If he wins a Super Bowl, is he gone?
Definitely. He's gone no matter what. Kyle Shanahan just told everybody. He's gone no matter what, even if they win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
This will be the Trent Dilfer situation in Baltimore. And I don't even know if Baltimore eventually got to Flacco, but wasn't it Kyle Bowler who was right after Trent Dilfer?
I think that went to Elvis Gerbach.
Elvis Gerbach.
And then Kyle Bowler. It's a great point. But Shanahan thinks that he can win with pretty much any quarterback.
Yeah, and I get why he thinks that, because his system is set up so that Jimmy Garoppolo can have you one game away from the Super Bowl. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So want to know what you guys think. We know we have a lot of 49ers fans who are listening now. First of all, how are you feeling heading into this game? If you're going to be going to SoFi Stadium on Sunday, want to hear about all your travel plans, how you got your tickets, all of that stuff, because we know that's been a big topic of conversation, the 49ers fans infiltrating SoFi.
Yeah,
again,
we're hearing sea of red at SoFi. Even though the Cardinals fans didn't travel, I guess that doesn't mean anything because San Francisco's closer. How do the Rams fans let this happen? It's so hard for me to understand. I think for you to understand, coming from Philadelphia, where no opposing fans get in the stadium, and you're from Buffalo, I don't think Buffalo doesn't have that problem.
Well, that's because no one wants to go to Buffalo.
That's not... Or it's inaccessible because of snow like this weekend.
Yeah, probably because a bomb cyclone is coming to the Northeast and Andrew Perloff's excited about it.
Yeah. Well,
you and I have different definitions of exciting.
Then maybe Matthew Stafford will be a bomb cyclone on Sunday.
Oh, we got to get to Matthew Stafford because one quarterback who can draw a direct line from this Sunday to Canton, Ohio in the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about that next. But 49ers fans and Jimmy Garoppolo fans and foes alike, want to hear from you. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter as well, at Maggie and Pearl, P-E-R-L, at Andrew Perloff, at Maggie Gray. You may have noticed a little shout out to our show from Charles Barkley last night. No big deal. We're going to get to your football calls in just a minute. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. You can hit us up, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you have any faith in Jimmy Garoppolo for the upcoming Niners-Rams game?
I say no.
Maggie says no. I say it doesn't matter because the Niners are not going to need Jimmy G. We will get to our picks later in the show. In the meantime, let's shift our focus over to the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs are 7-point favorites over the Cincinnati Bengals, the Joe Burrow game, the Patrick Mahomes game.
We're already calling it the Joe Burrow game. Wow, no pressure, kid.
I feel like this has basically been anointing Joe Burrow all week. Everyone is fascinated by him. Mm-hmm. But when you look at this game, Maggie, like, what's one of the first things that pops into your head about what could be Monday morning's headline?
The massive disappointment this will be for the Chiefs if they somehow lose this game. To me, I know the Chiefs are a heavy favorite here, and I'm tempted to even lay the points and pick the Chiefs because their offense is rolling in a way that I think is super dangerous. But if they lose this game to the Bengals, which is 100% possible, by the way, this is so possible that they could lose this game to the Bengals. Hell, they just lost to the Bengals 3 weeks ago. We all just witnessed this and watched it. If they lose this game on Sunday, this is going to start to feel like dynasty what? Dynasty when? This was the penciled in dynasty that will now be showing cracks and cratering. And you know, it's going to remind people, Perloff, a lot of Andy Reid back when he was coaching your Philadelphia Eagles. Because if you make 4 AFC championship games and you're also hosting all 4 AFC championship games and you get 1 Super Bowl win to show for it in that 4-year span, when, oh, by the way, it's not Donovan McNabb like Andy Reid had in Philadelphia, no offense. It's Patrick freaking Mahomes. Now, losing to Tom Brady is totally, like, I don't want to say fine, but it's explainable. You know, that first AFC championship game, Patrick Mahomes didn't even get the ball in overtime. How is that his fault? Absolutely not. The second one, you know, they beat the Titans. They end up going to the Super Bowl. They end up beating the 49ers. Third one, you lose to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, didn't have your tackles. You know, we saw Mahomes doing everything he possibly can. You lose to the Bengals? I think this is going to severely turn up the heat on everybody in Kansas City. You know, maybe not Mahomes. Actually, I'm going to take Mahomes out of this. Mahomes really can't do any wrong here, right? Like, he is, again, reaching unicorn status. Like, we're monitoring his heart rate and how it doesn't move in the biggest points of the game when all the rest of us would be peeing our pants. And Mahomes is, like, you know, basically sitting on the beach reading a Vanity Fair. So I'm going to take Mahomes out of it. But I'll tell you what, Andy Reid might have something to answer for. We saw one of the biggest and most inexplicable plays against the Buffalo Bills with a 3rd and 1 when this game is just nail-biting back and forth, right? Kansas City has a chance maybe to give a little bit more space, a little bit of room, a little bit of breathing room. And on a third, was it 3rd and 1? Maybe it was a 3rd and 4.
3rd and 1.
It was 3rd and 1. They take Mahomes, move him out, and bring Blake Bell, the backup tight end, to do one of these weirdo Andy Reid things that he's been drawing up on the back of the Waffle House napkin, and all of a sudden you get stopped, you're giving the ball back to Josh Allen. Like, you can't have that moment. And I know I feel like I'm maybe, like, you know, pouring salt in an old wound that you might have had in the Philadelphia years, and sure, everything's good now because you guys won a Super Bowl. But remember, Andy Reid was, like, teetering on enemy number one in Philly because you guys kept going to all these NFC championship games. You're hosting NFC championship games. You're big favorites in these championship games, and you kept blowing it.
You realize the Chiefs haven't played yet. I feel like you're burying Andy Reid.
I'm just saying
if
this is, you don't think the Bengals can win this game?
I do, but I feel like, what is the point of this take before the loss has happened?
I'm just previewing what the world's going to look like on Monday if the Chiefs lose. Mark my words.
I just feel like it's a little pessimistic and a little cynical to talk about Andy Reid's legacy back to those Philly days when the game hasn't even happened yet and they're a touchdown favorite.
Okay, well, listen, they could win this game. They could win it easily. They could also lose this game. And I tell you what, if they lose this game, it's either going to be because of one of two things. It's either because Andy Reid did something and called a boneheaded play in a crucial time, or it's going to be because the defense let them down. It's not going to be because of Mahomes.
What if it's like last year's playoffs where the Cleveland game when Mahomes dislocates his knee?
Yes.
That was last year's playoffs. There's a million things that could happen.
Sure.
And we don't know if it's going to be Andy Reid.
Somebody could parachute onto the field, like freaking fan man could come out. Yes, anything could happen. I'm just telling you what the world is going to look like on Monday if the Chiefs lose this game to the Bengals. And because the focus might go on the defense if you have a D4 jumping off sides again like you did against the Patriots. Sure, anybody could wear the goat horns. But if it is, we've seen Andy Reid do this. The guy's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not ruining his legacy here. I'm just saying you're going to start to hear questions and you're going to start to wonder if you have the best quarterback in the NFL. If anyone was starting their franchise today, they'd pick Patrick Mahomes. Kid's 26 years old.
Right.
We've already seen him do so much on such a big stage. 4 home AFC championship games, 1 Super Bowl in that span. That's not a dynasty.
Well, no, nobody's saying this. First of all, they haven't even lost yet. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't bury the dynasty.
I'm sorry. But this is a like thought saying, exercise you're where saying, you're going to have to imagine that in some world the Chiefs could lose.
You're like saying, like, well, if Sean McVay loses by 2 touchdowns to Kyle Shanahan, everyone's going to kill Sean McVay. But that's just way too speculative to say. We will. The truth is, we'll kill Sean McVay, right, if he loses. And we'll kill Kyle Shanahan if he blows a lead. I'm just saying, you can't bury my guy Andy Reid yet. You got to at least let them play. And I feel like you just buried him.
You guys buried him in Philly. I thought that was unfair. You guys
all was fine when they got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. That's all they wanted out of Andy Reid was
just to go to the Super Bowl and lose.
But the thing about dynasties, though, I don't think that a lot of people think the Chiefs dynasty is going to be a dynasty. Like, do you think people think, how many Super Bowls?
We penciled in the Chiefs for a dynasty 3 years ago.
How many? Yeah, but there are no dynasties anymore. It just is not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Patriots. Can get into the definition
There's
of dynasty.
There's only one, and it's the Patriots. And even the Patriots, being the best team in football, they were, at the end of every Super Bowl, it was down to one play. There's no dynasties. I don't think, I compared earlier to, like, Aaron Rodgers. We would have thought Aaron Rodgers, when he won his first Super Bowl, was going to win 5 more. They were 15-1 the following year. And your guy, Josh Allen, of course we think he's going to go win Super Bowls. But the NFL, there's so much parity right now. I think it'd be ridiculous to think that the Chiefs are going to win 5 Super Bowls.
Oh, man, I do not think people see it the way you do. I think more people see it the way I do, that even though there are incredible quarterbacks in the AFC, even though we know how difficult it is to get back, people look at Aaron Rodgers and think that that is a disappointment, that he only got to one. That's still a storyline we're talking about literally 10 years later. And I think people would see it as a massive disappointment if the Chiefs lost to the Bengals. But massive.
Do you remember in week 7 when they were 3-4 and everyone's like, Justin Herbert's better than Patrick Mahomes?
I do recall.
I feel like that's not how you talk about a dynasty. There's no dynasty. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, but that doesn't guarantee anything. They absolutely should have lost on Sunday to the Bills. They should be out of this playoffs already. They had 13 seconds.
I get what you're saying, but they also went out and won that game. They had 13 seconds left, and that's just too much for Patrick Mahomes because he actually is that special. You know, there are a lot of really good quarterbacks, and he's even he's the top of the pyramid when it comes to these great AFC quarterbacks,
but
for
sure. It's a coin toss. It was an absolute coin toss that game, 100%. It could have gone 5 other ways.
So one thing I will disagree with you all about another thing. Even though like midway through the season, even people were wondering like, where is this Chiefs team? I think they really put that to bed in the second half of the season. You know, they ripped off a really big winning streak. They weren't winning super impressive,
right,
but they started to win. And it really was just that loss to Cincinnati on the road.
Well,
that ended up sort of kind of bringing around some questions. I'm not saying a dynasty means you have to be the Cowboys of the early 90s and you're beating everybody by 2 touchdowns. No, but you're still winning.
They've let up 2 200-yard receivers and guys who probably should not be getting 200 yards. Jamar Chase is great, but he should be going for 260 and setting an all-time record. And Gabriel Davis certainly shouldn't be going for 200 yards. And you'll watch the highlights. They can't tackle anybody. And even the Bengals lost. They're running into the punter. They're doing stupid things left and right. Honestly, they feel like they're very precarious this year. It's nothing like 2 years ago or even last year. They were much more dominant until all the injuries happened. Let's say week 10, would you have been surprised that they are where they are now? Did you think when they were 3-4 they were still that dangerous?
I did. Just because I was watching how they were losing.
Fumbles.
And it was like fumbles and all these crazy turnovers. I'm like, this can't last. I wasn't sure about the defense, but this is the second time like in this Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo's the defensive coordinator era where we've seen them have a really bad defense. Then all of a sudden, towards the end of the season in the playoffs, the defense all of a sudden becomes like one of the strengths of the team.
Right, except obviously not happening this year because of the Buffalo game. That was one of the, it was terrible.
That was a tough one.
But, you know, the funny thing, though, about them turning it around, though, this team, basically, it's really like every year they're taking on water. They are so much weaker than they were 2 years ago, and I kind of worry about them moving forward. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, don't be afraid of the AFC West.
Wow. 855-212-4CBS. Let's sneak in. Jim wants to talk about Jimmy G. What's happening, Jim?
Yeah, I want to get back to Jimmy G, and I agree with you, Maggie. He's problematic. Coaching around a guy is not the answer, and he's not going to get it done.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Jim, you and I, same book, same page. And you can point to just the win losses and say, look at Jimmy Garoppolo. How could you say that, you know, he can't win games? He can, and I'll give you that. But look at how they're winning those games, right? Look at how they're winning those games. Is it because of Jimmy G or is it in spite of Jimmy G? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Your calls always welcome. Got another thing we're going to be talking about on Monday. Not just Andy Reid if the Chiefs lose. Big time storylines that you can just write the check, cash it on Monday. Perloff and I will give you all the details. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for a CBS Sports Update with our man, Rich Ackerman. All right, it's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. All you have to do is check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. We're going to get into our predictions for what everyone's going to be talking about on Monday. We're going to go closest to the hole style here in honor of our friend Jim Nance, but we're going to do that in just a minute because last night was a seminal moment for the show. Huge moment for the show. Can't understate how big this was for the recently launched Maggie and Perloff show, which you're listening to right now on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and SiriusXM Channel 158. You are watching your beloved Philadelphia 76ers play the LeBron-less Lakers last night.
Whooping the LeBron-less Lakers.
Wow, that was not
Lakers.
Even a game.
Yeah, that was. I was enjoying it. Joel Embiid did not have his best game, but still managed to have incredible stats en route to his MVP season, I am so sure. He's now the Vegas frontrunner. And so I tweeted out a picture. It was after the game. Shaq talked about how much he loved Joel Embiid. And I said, someday I'd like somebody to love me like Shaq loves Joel Embiid.
And that tweet, ladies and gentlemen, was good enough to make it on the TNT post-game show, where everybody on the set, Kenny, EJ, Shaq, and most importantly, Charles Barkley, thought it was so funny. And not only that, but here comes Barkley, fan of the show.
Couldn't play a dead guy in a cowboy movie.
One of the great lines. Kevin McHale has a great line. He says, there's a lot of empty calories out here.
Someone loves me.
Shaq loves Joel Embiid.
That's funny.
Don't hold your breath, Andrew. Don't hold your breath.
Andrew got a show on CBS Sports Network, I think, if I remember correctly. There's another all-star.
Stephen Curry, Warriors, and Timberwolves coming up.
Finally, your celebrity friendships are paying off for the show. Here we go, Chuck. Welcome in. We're now Charles Barkley, officially his favorite radio show. Boom, you just heard it.
Is that how this works?
Yes.
That was
declaring
enough.
It right now.
That was an official endorsement of the Maggie and Perloff show on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
He mentioned it on like the highest rated post-game show in the history of cable television. He obviously got the network right.
Yeah.
Knows you. Always said you were his favorite Danette.
No, he never said that.
Oh.
Charles,
I'm taking some liberties that you were his favorite Danette.
No, Shaq and I have a long, long history of a love affair. Like, Shaq and I are simpatico. That's why, as exciting as this is, it would have been even more exciting if Shaq had mentioned something. I don't know why he went quiet there. The problem with Shaq, you know what the issue with Shaq is.
What's that?
And this happened a lot at the Dan Patrick Show. The nickname McLovin, a lot of people assumed I was McLovin from Superbad.
Like that you were the real actor
in the movie. Christopher Mintz Plotts, all grown up. And then, which is funny because that character
went to a time machine.
Yeah, he went to Dartmouth like I did. So I think that Shaq for a long time thought I was the guy who played McLovin in Superbad. So he loved me. He always talked about me on his podcast. I love that McLovin. But I think he loves me in Superbad. Charles knows who I am. We've been around each other a bunch of times. And he's the best. Kenny absolutely thinks I'm McLovin because he's made that mistake on multiple occasions. Because I guess McLovin hangs out in Atlanta with these guys.
Well, I just think it's funny that they think you're the actor who was in the movie and you're you, because the actor is still, at least 10 years younger than you?
Oh, my God. Yeah. But
maybe more.
He was just, he hasn't been in that much lately. He's been in a few movies. He was in that movie, that recent movie that got some Oscar consideration, where he was a very bad guy. But anyway, yeah, I was really
specific.
Yeah, I like that Charles gave me a shout out. I wish he had mentioned you. I wish he had said Maggie.
It's okay.
And maybe like a little 3-6 Eastern shout out.
Maybe give out the phone number, 855-212-4.
Yeah, said I'm digging Mike and Stu.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there could have been a little more texture, but I guess the music was playing at the end. Like, that, they probably, EJ had to get out there.
No,
right?
I mean, we work in this medium. You work in radio and TV. You got a heart out there.
Yeah.
You got to go. Listen. He doesn't have to mention me. He mentioned you, new show, got the network right. Chuck, Charles, thank you so much, sir, for mentioning the show. Look at that.
He is also,
finally, your celebrity friendship's coming through.
He is also the nicest, most awesome guy of all time.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
That's not that hard to imagine.
I was thinking about, where are we going to get to hang out with Charles Barkley? And I have some thoughts.
Okay. I mean,
Final Four, baby.
Strip club somewhere?
Final Four on CBS. You know that Charles is still doing the college basketball.
Ah, that's going to be our moment.
New Orleans. Can you imagine anything more fun than the Maggie and Perloff crew?
Someone's getting thrown through a plate glass window. That's what's going to happen.
So, okay. Spinning this different direction, do you think that's the best studio show of all time? We'll take out the CBS shows, but...
Oh, yeah. A conflict of interest there.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
By far. Yeah, it's amazing.
Everyone
tries to recreate it, and no one can because nobody has Chuck. And nobody has Shaq.
No, and Barkley's reached that rarefied air where he can comment on anything.
Anything.
Anything in America, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's race, whether it's education, whether it's movie, anything he can comment on, and it's news, and it's newsworthy for people. So he's kind of reached a different stratosphere, and the chemistry is amazing. And it's funny because now Draymond Green got signed by TNT. Active player who's going to be part of this TNT family moving forward.
I don't understand how this works. So yesterday he was commenting that everything on the Lakers should not be blamed on Russell Westbrook. So
it's like, are you saying that as a member of the Warriors, or are you saying that as a member of TNT? Just probably both.
Right. Is he allowed to like fully let loose with opinions, or he's still on the court? He's got to face these guys, and he's on a great team. It could be in the finals. Like, this is a very weird. Do you remember our friend Tiki Barber? What was he doing while he was playing Today Show?
Well, got Today's Show afterwards.
Okay.
Mike would probably know that TikTok a little bit more. But one of my old co-hosts, Bart Scott, was doing stuff for Jim Rome when he was still playing for the Ravens.
And was that any kind of problem, or was it fine?
No, I mean, this is the thing. You got to find the right person. And that's why Draymond is the right person, because he's going to let it loose and give his opinion no matter what.
Like Bart Scott.
Of course. And like Charles and Shaq and Kenny. And Ernie is like the perfect maestro for that symphony. So it just works out great. And like, imagine the behind the scenes magic that goes into that as well. They basically did their own 30 for 30 during the pandemic about how that show got created.
Oh, it was awesome. And let's give a shout out to the other crew too, because we love Adam Lefko.
Oh,
we love
Lefko, Candace Parker. Dwayne Wade and Shaq.
Yeah.
That's another fantastic show.
Yeah, it's great. I still think the original show has got a certain magic to it, but those guys are great too.
Wait, can I just hear the Chuck again? Yeah. Can you just isolate though, just the part where he talks about us?
Andrew got a show on CBS Sports Network, I think, if I remember correctly.
And even threw in the, if I remember correctly, like you were just watching. Like, you're not watching right now. Charles, it's good to see you. Look forward to Final Four. Then next year when the Super Bowl's in Phoenix, we're going to hang out at your hometown. You know, everybody invites everyone to Phoenix. I saw him recently, by the way. Totally randomly, I was in Atlanta doing this story on something or other in May. And I'm walking out of the hotel, and I saw him, and he just like grabs me up with this gigantic bear hug. You know, he's
and you're like 6'4", so you're not that small.
He's sneaky huge, and he's so strong. But you don't think of him like, you don't think of him as a tall guy necessarily.
Well, because he always played so much bigger than his height. But no, once you see NBA players in person, they're always so much taller than you think. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, you guys are genetic freaks. I forgot
and
about that.
And, of course, Shaq is the ultimate.
And he's massive, too.
Yeah, I was at a Super Bowl party. Were you at that Super Bowl party where Shaq was DJing, and he was just, there was 5,000 people in the room, and one person stood about 2 feet above the rest? That's Shaq. Those are great guys. I appreciate that. But just maybe next time, a little more detail, like station IDs. Maybe.
Put an O'Reilly Auto Parts
in
there.
Let me ask you, Maggie. Do I have to tweet out every Inside the TNT show to try and get on this again?
Well, I love it. You were just being yourself talking about Joel Embiid and Shaq, and it made it right on the show. It just all happened. So, I mean, you kind of understood the magic. Happened so organically. I just loved it.
I have an assignment for you.
What's that?
You have to get on to the Manning cast, because they show 3 or 4 tweets from people in the media.
I know, but I don't know the Mannings. I've interviewed Eli a few times, but that's it.
The producers, they just picked me out of a hat because I said something funny. So I don't think
I thought this was your celebrity connection that was working here.
No, they didn't know that. No, the producers picked my tweet because it was funny. I don't think they knew that I knew Charles or Shaq. Maybe they did. I don't know.
This is just dawning on you now that maybe the producers knew who you were?
Well, they probably knew who I was, but that doesn't mean they gave me favoritism. I think you could get on the Manning cast. They always put these random tweets. When someone tweets about Eli's wardrobe, they always put
You're
it
right.
on.
You're right. I've got to start concentrating just on the quarter zip.
We have to start concentrating on shows where we can get attention, sort of some glory off of their brilliance.
Yeah, we're just trying to ride coattails here.
Yeah. So next.
By the way, how's that booking of Jim Rome going?
Yeah.
Speaking of riding coattails, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Do we even have time now for our takes? Did we ruin this? I want to go to Robert, though. I'm really curious what he has to say. Robert wants to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Robert, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay.
What's on your mind, bud?
I just think that people have the wrong impression of Jimmy Garoppolo, because the style of offense that San Francisco runs is a combination of all the players that they have and the talent they have, and they put it all together, and that's how they've been winning games.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how they won last week. They didn't score a touchdown.
But they still won the game. There's times where look at when Tom Brady got shut out by the Saints. I mean, really? I mean, you could say the same thing. I mean, it goes hand in hand. I mean, there's times where you don't, and there's times when you do. It's not like it was back when Joe Montana, Dan Marino were playing the ball, where they stood out like that. I mean, Tom Brady is a great quarterback to where he stood out like that. But
nowadays, you know, it's like the thing is, Robert, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, we're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo in his five playoff games with the 49ers has two touchdowns and five interceptions. That's not like asking you to play a certain way. That's asking you to get out of the way. You know, that's asking you to basically, we're going to need you to hand off. And I thought one of the biggest, I want to say indictments of Garoppolo, because I understand that he played in a Super Bowl and I understand they're one win away from another one. But that moment in Green Bay, which Kyle Shanahan had the play call in, Garoppolo passing play on a 3rd and 7 in Lambeau, called timeout to change the play on a 3rd and 7 to a Deebo Samuel run. I mean, that's it right there. That's it. That is Kyle Shanahan and learning from mistakes of the past and saying, what is our better chance to convert this into a first down? And it was to take it out of Jimmy's hands.
Also, Kyle Shanahan used to throw a lot with Matt Ryan. So it's not like Kyle Shanahan's averse to throwing the ball.
Also, what do you think they're going to do with Trey Lance?
They're going to run all the time.
Well, but he's going to be a big part of the running game also because that's part of his skill set.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't think that Trey Lance, you know, is supposedly has a pretty big arm. You don't think that went into any of the three draft picks they traded away to go get him?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They'll throw downfield in a way that they wouldn't even consider with Jimmy G.
Exactly. Man, can I hear the Barkley again? I'm obsessed with the Barkley.
Andrew got a show on CBS Sports Network, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, man, so good. Just right there.
We're going to see him.
We've been on the air for like 3 weeks. We're already getting shout-outs on TNT.
We're going to see him, and we're going to make sure that you're part of the next shout-out. He would love you. I can't believe you never, like, run into Charles at an event
interviewed him. I did interview Charles one time a long time ago. This was at the Final Four.
There you go.
I think this was, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think this was Kemba Walker, UConn. Did they win in Houston?
It was one
of the UConn ones. I think it was Kemba. Anyway, this is bad. I should know this. And I interviewed Charles.
It wasn't Khalid El-Amin in 1999.
No, I was in high school.
Okay. So, yeah, Charles Barkley, friend of the show. Shaq, friend of the show. Ernie Johnson, nicest man in America.
I've met Ernie before. Everything they say about Ernie is true. Kenny's, the nicest guy.
I have no real sense.
Kenny, I've interviewed a couple times. He's Mr. New York. He loves going on WFAN.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Okay. He's from New York, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
All right. So we're basically part of the show. Adam Lefkoe lives two doors away from me. This whole TNT, the marriage is growing stronger. It's all going to peak in March. Trust me.
Wow. I just love it.
And also, when the 76ers are in the finals, we'll probably all get together in Philadelphia for dinner before game one.
I love how you always already got us to Phoenix where we're like sleeping in like Charles's guest house.
Well, actually, yeah, that's a real thing. Charles keeps on inviting the Dan Patrick Show to stay at his house for the Phoenix Super Bowl. Now, I think somebody like him is serious. Would you want to do that? Would you want to stay at Charles's house for a week compared to a hotel?
Yes, definitely. Get stories from Charles, all the crazy times. Sorry, Mike, you have an update. When did I interview Charles Barkley?
Well, 2014 UConn national title was in Arlington, and then 2011 was in Houston. So it depends on which one of those two you were.
It was 2011.
There you go.
It must have been, what was that, Shabazz Napier?
Oh, man.
Well, Jim Calhoun was still the coach that year.
Oh, no. So it must have been... No, then it was Kemba. Yes?
No, that was Shabazz Napier.
It was Shabazz Napier.
Man. Kemba was there, though. I don't know if that was when Kemba went off, though.
It must have been the Kemba one. That had to be it, because it was Jim Calhoun. It was before Kevin Ollie took over.
I just have this memory of watching that tournament. I'm like, Shabazz Napier, he's going to be so good in the NBA. He could just get his own shot.
Do you remember LeBron James like insisted that he get drafted by the Miami Heat?
That is when I first dawned on me that LeBron might not be the greatest GM as a player.
He's
a Shabazz Napier.
Although, speaking of LeBron as a GM, it worked out in the moment. Remember when Andrew Wiggins got traded away for Kevin Love? Yeah. Look who comes full circle 8 years after he was drafted, named to his first All-Star team, Andrew Wiggins, yesterday. I was like, they put the graphic up. I was like, which one of these is not like the other? But Andrew Wiggins is a starter for the Western Conference All-Stars.
But LeBron was wrong about Wiggins because he let him out of the building, right?
But he wasn't because that trade for Kevin Love, ultimately they won a title. Yeah, so I think he was right.
Kevin Love getting strong consideration for Sixth Man of the Year all of a sudden.
Look at that.
Yeah, I saw him play the other day. I'm like, oh my God, he's got the Fountain of Youth. And it's amazing how all these things just come out of one little tweet I sent. Just saying, gosh, I love how Shaq loves Joel Embiid.
Man, we get this.
Andrew got a show on CBS Sports Network, I think, if I remember correctly.
That's going to be my new ringtone. I love it. We never got to our hottest takes from the weekend. We're going to do that coming up. Also, special guest is going to help us break down these games and help you bet on these games as well. Shail Kapadia is going to join us from The Athletic in just a minute. It's Maggie. It's Andrew. It's you on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.